What Wick had told me about the Fish Project and the company. Most of what I knew about the Fish Project and the company came to me from Wick like fragments of a dark tale I had to put together myself. I couldn't tell if he held those memories close to ward off the world or to let in something of the world. The company had come to the city unbidden, when the city was already failing and had no defenses against the intruder. For a time, the company must have seemed a savior to the city and its people. For a time, the prospect of jobs alone must have been enough. I tried to imagine a young Wick being drawn into the company, working his way from apprentice to making creatures on his own, yet the vision always blurred, fell away. I could only ever see him in my imagination, fully formed, Wick as I knew him now. The Fish Project had been his undoing, the cause of his being cast out from the company after many years of service. But although the fish had led to despair, memories of the creature filled him with nostalgia, too. "A tank of a fish," Wick told me one night, more than a year before I found Bourne. We were on our balcony, looking up at the black sky and ignoring the slap and rush of river poison below. Sometimes, through the protective veil Wick had created to disguise us, we would see others on the balconies to the north, beyond the area we controlled. They looked like mannequins or statues, something hopelessly remote, even though we knew they could be dangerous. It was early in that year, far into a chilly evening. The wind gushed up out of the dark, broke against the balcony stone to bring the faint sting of river smells, and I heard the reassuring hoot-hoot-hooting of owls and the sounds of stealthy things moving through the underbrush below. I remember thinking that the creatures we couldn't see had no use for us, went about their business without the need to figure us into their plans. I had no use for me either. We were both drunk on alcohol minnows and exhausted from a long day of work. I had blood on the bottom of my boots from a scavenging mission gone wrong, but not too wrong. The sky and its blurred stars, seeking something, wheeled and roved and quivered despite how little I moved as I stared up from my chair. But still, I listened to Wick beside me. Still, I was awake. My sadness gave me a clarity, a kind of sobriety I hadn't earned. Wick, much drunker. "A wonderful fish, with a wide and mournful mouth, like you see in certain kinds of dogs. Beautiful and ugly, and it moved like a leviathan. On land, no less. It could breathe air. I loved that it could breathe air. I gave it wonderful eyes, too, veined with emerald and gold." I had heard this part before, but as much as Wick went on about the fish, the depths of his feelings weren't about the fish. Not really. As time passed and the stars above began to slow, to reorganize along familiar constellations, most of his emotions were focused on people from the company. The old friend who had abandoned him, or whom he had abandoned, and the new employee who had betrayed him, the supervisor who had overseen the Fish Project, all of these people he had let into his life and who had turned against him, or had changed, or had simply been acting to their nature, and Wick had come into focus for them for a time, and then drifted out of focus again. I didn't know them, and Wick never gave enough context to make me care. But also, I couldn't remember as an adult when I had trusted three people at the same time. That Wick had once trusted so many seemed silly and irresponsible, an old-world indulgence. That he might have trusted them more than he trusted me, I didn't want to think about. I wondered, too, if Wick's view of the company, his willingness to forgive, could ever be reconciled with my own view. To me, The company was the white engorged tick on the city's flank, the place that had robbed us of resources and created chaos, the place that, it was rumored, had sent its finished products out by underground tunnels to far distant places and left us with the dregs at the holding ponds. Sometimes I met rare older scavengers who would spin me tales of the richness of the city before the company's appearance, and their faces would shine with an inner light that almost made me change my mind about memory beetles. Almost. What they told me could not be the whole truth, the same as when we speak of the recently deceased and tell only the good stories. That was the beauty of the company, how it won no matter what, how it had attached itself to the history of our city even when it no longer existed here except as a husk, a ghost, or a giant murderous bear. Someone killed it, showed it to me through a camera embedded in one of my spy beetles. Except, later on, Wick said that another person had killed it. Yet another version, that it had been wounded and lingered on for a time in the holding ponds outside the company building. In this version, the fish had survived for almost a year, longer than it should have, in part because Wick had fed it. The creature had become a terror of that place, the monster with the human face that rose from the depths to devour. Although the human face was dead almost from the start, nibbled at and gnawed on by lesser creatures in the water, became waterlogged and misshapen in its decay, and no one would have recognized who it once was, nor could the rest of the fish ever recover from the death it carried atop its head. In a fourth version, Wick hinted that the fish might linger there still, deep under the water. Wick telling versions. Wick hurt. Wick falling back into angst. Wick recounting how he had been forced out of the company when his fish project was sabotaged. The company sliding into anarchy, out of contact with its headquarters, and he having to live his life without the protection to which he'd grown accustomed, turned him into a drug dealer, a survivalist, a man so thin and translucent he wouldn't have looked out of place in a row of creatures from a cave or the deep ocean. In my darker moments, when I doubted my own true self and betrayed that self by framing my attraction to Wick as a kind of antidote, I knew that what Wick was really admitting was that, in his past, he had helped to create a weapon so deadly that not even its extreme beauty could justify its use. The truth that Wick conveniently left out of most of his memories, but was explicit in the notes on the diagram in his apartment. The purpose of his monstrous fish had been to serve as enforcer and crowd control, to instill fear and perhaps to kill. In some remote place, a government still had, at the time, the authority or the stability to restore order, was invested in restoring it. And then, that night on the balcony, for the first and only time, another monster entered Wick's rambling discourse about the company.
Mord knew about the fish project. Mord showed me what I was.
I didn't know how to take that. Had Wick coexisted with Mord in the company? When Mord was smaller? When Mord couldn't fly? But whenever I sensed Wick had let slip something important, he would stop abruptly, as if reading my sudden interest, and fall silent. That silence was no natural end. It was more like a cutting off point, the border beyond which Wick could not venture.